Welcome back to the Daily Decrypt. Google's lawsuit against two developers for creating fake cryptocurrency investment apps unveils a massive scam, tricking over 100,000 users on the Google Play Store into substantial financial losses. How did the fraudulent cryptocurrency investment apps manage to deceive such a large number of users, and what steps is Google taking to combat this type of online fraud? Over 92,000 D-Link NAS devices worldwide are at risk due to a critical vulnerability, CVE-2024-3273, involving a backdoor account with hard-coded credentials, exposing them to potential remote attacks. What actions can owners of the affected D-Link NAS models take, considering there are no patches available for this significant security flaw? A Microsoft engineer's alertness to unusual SSH tool behavior led to the discovery of a stealthy supply chain cyber attack embedded in a critical Linux data compression utility, potentially thwarting a major global cybersecurity disaster. And what does this reveal about the vulnerabilities in our everyday software updates? In the fight against online fraud, Google has filed a lawsuit against app developers Yunfeng Sun and Hong Nam Chung for creating fraudulent cryptocurrency investment apps, causing significant user losses. These fraudulent apps, about 87 in total, were available on the Google Play Store, and they deceived over 100,000 users since 2019. The scam, known as pig butchering, involves luring victims into investment opportunities with the promise of high returns. However, when users attempt to withdraw their funds, they're met with demands for additional payments, and they get trapped in a cycle of deceit. Pig butchering is a type of scam where fraudsters slowly fatten up their victims. The scammer creates a fake relationship with the victim, often online, building trust over time. They then entice the victim with an investment opportunity promising high returns. And in this example, it was an app on the Google Play Store where they were able to get victims to invest more and more money. As the victim sees their investment apparently growing, this is all fake, coded into the app to encourage you to keep giving more money. Think of if you've used Robinhood or Acorns, you're able to see your money grow. When the victim wants to withdraw their funds, they're hit with demands for additional fees, taxing, which then just continues to extract more money until the victim realizes that the scam, or they fully run out of money. Just like fattening up a pig before it's butchered, the scammer builds up the victim's investment before taking it all. The scammers Yunfeng Song and Hong Nam Chung, believed to be based in Shenzhen and Hong Kong, respectively, utilized a variety of sophisticated tactics to lure their victims. This included sending targeted messages using Google Voice or promoting their fraudulent apps through YouTube videos, particularly targeting users in the US and Canada. Google is accusing the developers for violating several laws, including the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act, RICO, and wire fraud. The tech giant has stressed that such fraudulent activities not only cause financial harm to users, but also threaten the integrity of the Google Play platform. This case underscores the growing issues of fraudulent apps on major platforms, not limited to Android, as we have seen similar cases that have occurred on Apple's App Store. With this, Google's action is an important step in preventing online investment scams. However, it's not going to stop them. As long as people are still willing to give these scammers money, we're still going to see it. And we're going back to Soho, and not south of Houston, New York City. We're talking small office, home office devices. If you've listened to this show before, you might be familiar with it. It's one of the topics that we tend to bring up fairly often, as they are devices that are attacked. However, this one, we're not discussing a router. We are discussing a network attached storage, also known as a NAS. These devices are storage devices that you'll put on your network, and you can upload photos, files, whatever you're doing. It's kind of like your own personal Google Drive or iCloud. It'll be within your network. This is a significant vulnerability that has been identified in 4 outdated D-Link NAS models. and it can potentially compromise over 92,000 internet-facing devices. For those of you in the loop, it's CVE-2024-3273. This vulnerability involves a backdoor account with hard-coded credentials and a command injection flaw, as discovered by the researcher NetSecFish. Those are pretty interesting terms, backdoor and command injection. Imagine your computer has a hidden door that's supposed to be locked, but the key is really simple and well known to attackers. This is a backdoor with easy to guess access. Additionally, if someone sends a special command to your computer, it can mistakenly let them control the computer. That's the command injection flaw. So the issue is like having an easily picked lock and a door that opens when it hears specific words, making your computer vulnerable to unauthorized access. If you've ever seen Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, you know that Gandalf is looking for a secret phrase to get into the mines of Moria. Hope I'm not spoiling the movie for anybody. Attackers can exploit this flaw through a malicious HTTP request, enabling them to execute arbitrary commands on the affected devices. Take a look in the show notes if you're curious as to what the affected device models are. The important thing here is that they are no longer supported with security updates, and D-Link has announced that no patches will be provided for this flaw, urging users to retire and replace these end-of-life devices. This is great advice for anyone that is running any sort of outdated software or outdated end-of-life devices, not just D-Link, NASs, as discussed in this segment. If you are running anything at end-of-life, it's no longer providing any security updates, and the device is just going to be inherently more and more vulnerable. The interesting thing with a lot of these devices is that they like to tell your router that they're allowed to communicate with the public internet. And what that does is it opens up a little hole in your router and people can access your devices from outside of your personal network. Some of the things that you can do to mitigate this, if you are still running some of these end-of-life devices, is actually go into your router, log in, and you can turn off certain features. You can modify the firewall rules. It's not too complicated, might involve a little bit of Googling. One of the things you might want to look out for, it's called UPnP. That is a certain feature that allows devices to make themselves publicly available. Feel free to leave us a comment if you're curious about learning more about these devices or with things that you can do. We'd be happy to spin up a segment on that or just help you out through a discussion online. If you're curious to learn more about these devices and things that you can do, please leave us a comment. It doesn't have to be specifically these NAS that we're talking about, but just SOHO routers and SOHO devices in general. They sometimes require a little bit of knowledge, and we'd be happy to dive more into that on another segment. This last one, brought to us by The Guardian, titled "One Engineer's Curiosity May Have Saved Us from a Devastating Cyber Attack," shows us that not all heroes wear capes. Microsoft engineer Andreas Freund identified malicious code in the XZUtil software on Good Friday, potentially averting a major cybersecurity disaster. The malicious code, embedded through updates to XZUtils, was a part of a supply chain attack similar to the infamous SolarWinds incident. A supply chain attack happens when hackers target less secure elements in the supply chain of a software or a system, like a third-party service provider or software component, to gain access to a bigger network. It's like poisoning the water supply to affect the entire town. The hackers exploit these weaker links to breach larger, more secure systems. It's a sneaky way to create widespread disruption. This malware aimed to compromise Secure Shell, a critical security tool for network systems, by breaking its authentication process. SSH is a remote access tool that The malware was designed to break the SSH authentication process, creating a backdoor for unauthorized system access. Given SSH's critical role in network security, this vulnerability posed a significant threat. The cybersecurity community, consequently, has been on high alert, with alerts issued to Linux users worldwide about the potential danger from these compromised updates. The story behind the malware's insertion into Exe Utils is really interesting. The software, maintained largely by an individual programmer, Lasse Collin, became a target when a new developer known as Giatan began contributing. Another security expert noted that soon after Giatan's involvement, pressure mounted on Collin to hand over control, which he eventually did in 2023, leading to the release of the malware-infected updates. The incident has sparked serious concern among cybersecurity experts. One described the backdoor as very peculiar, really clever stuff, and very stealthy. There's speculation about the involvement of foreign intelligence, notably around the Russian SVR, which was implicated in the SolarWinds breach. This situation underscores two main issues: the inherent insecurity of technology that we rely very heavily on, and our overall dependence on open source software, which is often maintained by volunteers without support from the industry or government. This vulnerability really just tells us that we need to be aware of what we're using on our devices and stay informed and pay attention to how your devices are behaving. If you notice that anything is acting weirdly, look into it. You might not go as far as figuring out that it was the security updates that you applied on one specific piece of software. However, you may notice that a device is being accessed when nobody else is around or should be accessing it. That's all I have for you today. If you like what you hear, please leave us a comment, leave us a review. We'd really appreciate it. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you tomorrow.